Oh, I love this one. Take risks. Do something that scares you. In fact, I've said it once already, but there's a great song lyric from this song called Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann. Please go look it up. YouTube it, Baz Luhrmann, sunscreen. Wear sunscreen. Do one thing every day that scares you. It's got some of the best advice. Best advice I live by in this amazing song. But what I'm getting at is what it means is to take risks. And I'm not just saying any risk. I mean, remember when we were young, when we were small, we would climb trees and go as high as we could and scare our parents to death, right? I mean, literally, they would worry about us. We would climb up there without any fear because, well, we hadn't learned what it was like to hit the ground yet. We didn't know what it was like to fail yet. We didn't have the fear of that worry of not succeeding because we just wanted to try everything. We didn't know what was the consequence of that risk. Well, sometimes the only way through is by hitting it, a fear and taking a risk, getting outside your comfort zone. Crossing that happy line to the unknown. And these exterior, well, experiences that you encounter, well, th they force you to learn, right? And what's interesting is when we're small, when we're little like that, right? Well, we learn everything from the people around us, the things to do and not do, right? And when we're little, remember I said how we're all born with the same amount of confidence and courage? Zero. We're all even at the beginning. And it's only those of us that decide to climb to the highest point of the tree and learn and or do the craziest climb up the mountain or go to the bottom of the sea or jump out of a plane to find your limits and push them a little further, grow. But this only happens when we choose to challenge ourselves. We choose to accept an opportunity to take a risk. And here's the thing, I'm not talking about just go and do something crazy and, hope for the best. I'm not telling you to go jump out of a plane. That would be stupid. That'd be, well, not even courageous. That's just stupidity, right? But what's the difference between jumping out of a plane and jumping out of a plane with a parachute? Living. It's taking a risk to live better, to have a better life, to grow and to develop. It's an calculated, educated risk. When I go scuba diving, I check how much oxygen I have. I check my gauges. I check my equipment. I check every little thing because I know any one thing that is wrong could cause me to die. It causes me to concentrate and focus and learn and be on the ball. When I ride my motorbike, I have a motorbike that goes extremely fast. Now, I won't ever drive it that fast until I'm on a track, but when I go fast, I know that if I make any small mistake, that could be it. When I'm rock climbing, when I'm doing all my extreme sports, all of these things, I don't just go do it and hope. To my research, I calculate the risks. I get a tutor, I get a teacher, I get my dad who has jumped out of a plane 1,000 times before he said, "Hey, you want to go? I'll take you." I got to do that with my dad. That was an amazing memory. I'll take with me to my end days. And I'll smile every time I think of it. It just brings me tears of happiness. Just the thought of being able to do that, take that risk, learn that with someone I care so much about. But it is interesting because we all learn where our risk limit is pretty much from the grown-ups and people around us. If you hang out with a crazy group of high energy, high octane, kind of sporty type people, that's the kind of person you become. If you hang out with a bunch of people who don't like going out and you like sitting playing video games all day and you just want to stay in your room in front of a screen, that's kind of people you hang out with, that's who you become more of. How would that change unless you make it so? Remember, you're in charge. But most people, they get stuck in that loop. So you understand, this taking risk, you're never going to be awesome at anything right off the bat. You're never going to be great at anything. You're never, remember, stages of development, you're a beginner, intermediate, novice, right? All the way expert, master, master of skill. We talked about that. And in fact, well, none of us are going to be good at everything or anything right off the bat. It's just not possible. We are humans. We are born with choice, and choice comes mistakes and errors and learning. It's great, isn't it? Someone great always said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the same result, that's the definition of crazy. You're going crazy if you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. No, no way. Same thing's going to happen, of course. So how do you get out of that? How do you change it? You do something different. You do something that scares you, that you probably will fail at. And well, once you do have a go, you'll, well, realize, wait a minute. And now you've got a chance to grow. Because at the end of the day, failure is inevitable. It's going to happen. It always happens. In fact, it's the most likely thing to happen. And if it doesn't matter, the only part that matters is that you get back up and try again. You're stubborn, like me. Then everyone, well, everyone experiences setbacks and everyone is going to fail, but not everyone's going to get back up and not everyone's going to even try. In fact, most people won't. 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first year, fact, because it's so difficult and there are so many lessons to learn and so many things to go wrong. And the chances are there are more chances of it going wrong and failing than there are getting it, finding the right solutions to the right problems at the right time in the right sequence to make it all magically happen. But you know why? I have successful businesses that are continuously keep going. Well, because I never give up. I keep going. I get knocked down. I learn my lesson. I apologize. I pay for my mistake. I make sure I never forget. And I make sure I'm better tomorrow. Try again. Get back on that horse. Literally. I mean, it's you get knocked off, you get back on. If you choose not to get back on, then you have failed. But until you choose to not to, you're just learning. Learning's good. Hurts sometimes, trust me. But there's that saying, no pain, no gain. Yeah, it can hurt up here sometimes too, and not necessarily physically, but mentally, it can be a thing. So, well, go outside of your comfort zone, and this will help you learn from experiences and become more confident. And in saying that, thinking the word leader, you understand a leader is not a leader because we just say, hey, you're a leader. No, a leader is a leader because they did something first. They did something that no one else wanted to do. They stood up and got their hand up and experienced and did something before the rest of everyone else. And that makes them experienced. And therefore, more experienced people, well, we trust to follow because, we know that they've already done something we didn't have the guts to do first. They did. That's why they earn the title leader. Think about that. You're going to be the first to take a risk and put your hand up next time the opportunity comes? I don't know. All right, I got a great true story for you. Now, this is an experience that gave me a tremendous amount of confidence, and I look back on it and realize why only years later, when I really did the research behind the understanding of confidence and leadership. And so, as you already I've already mentioned, and you already know, I started a circus company when I was about 18. It's an agency, and because I was a martial arts, and I did magic, and I did certain circus skills. And first, you understand, every circus performer I met along the way, we networked, and we all got together, and I created this company. And a long story short, I was working with my troupe. I had kind of 10 or 15 magicians and steel walkers and acrobats at this huge festival, like 10, 15,000 people, and they'd all come to see this band. called the Gypsy Kings. You may have heard of them. In fact, they were probably more popular in your parents' days, or slightly older generation. But you understand, it was a really popular band of their day. Imagine your favorite band and everyone else wanting to go see it. It was like one of them. So we're big performing, making everyone happy, and I'm there managing my crew, my team, my circus troupe, and everything's going great. And all of a sudden, the event organizer runs up and goes, Joe, we've got a bit of a problem. Could you help? The announcer, the person who's meant to announce and introduce the band, obviously this huge band, he's stuck in London 3 hours away, and he's not going to make it. The band needs to be on in the next 5 minutes, so we're going to have a riot with these 10,000 people who have come to see this band, and they don't walk on unless someone introduced them. You know that they're professional, they're pretty big name. They're not going to walk on without an introduction. And no one else has the guts to do it. And we thought, hey, maybe because you're a performer or entertainer, you kind of, maybe you have the ability to go do that for us. And, we'd really appreciate it. And the sooner the better, if possible, because you've got 5 minutes. And I sat there, and all of a sudden, my hands got really sweaty, and my forehead started to sweat, and my mouth got all dry, and all these real physical signs of, like, worry, and kind of anxiety kicked in, and nervousness, that's a good word for it. And in my mind, in that 30 seconds that I was staring at the manager, I was like, give me a second. And I just kind of processed this. So I go, okay, what's going to happen here? What's the worst that could happen? Okay, this is probably going to go wrong. I've never done anything like this before. I mean, I did school presentations where I was in front of my classroom with like 30, 40 people. Maybe I did some debate teams when I was in high school, and maybe 50 or 100 people in the best audience I've ever, done a debate in front of. But you know what? I've never done 10,000 people. This is a whole nother level. I'm probably going to mess this up. In my head, I'm thinking, this is going to go terribly wrong. And you're really asking the wrong guy. But you know what? What's the worst that could happen? Okay, let's run through the possibilities. I hands me the mic. I walk up the stairs onto the stage. In the very first 5 seconds of even trying to, I trip on the staircase, land flat on my face in front of 10,000 people with the microphone, go, and I'll look stupid. It'll be hilarious. I'll look like an absolute idiot that fell up the stairs, but it'll be funny. Okay, could be worse. No one died. Okay, so all right, let's just imagine I made it up the stairs without falling. Okay, and I am walking to the center of the stage to make the announcement, and I trip over my shoelace or some kind of. Oh, yeah, that would be stupid too. But you know what? Well, I'm here. I'm just going to check. My shoelaces are done up. My clothes are all in order. My fly is done up. I'm not going to look silly there. Okay, check. Okay, what's the worst that could happen? I might look silly, but I've done the check now. I've kind of taken some risk assessment there. I've seen, checked. I'm good. Okay. All right. So let's imagine I can get up the stairs. I get onto the stage. I get to the center of the stage where I'm meant to be. And I go to talk onto the microphone, and it's not working. It doesn't turn on. The battery's dead, or some technical problem. And I'm going to be sitting there going, "My God!" And I'm going to look stupid. Okay, yeah, but you know what? It won't be my fault. I can blame it on the sound guy. So you know what? That will make me look stupid in front of them. But you know what? The manager or the boss will know it had nothing to do with me. So that won't be my fault. Okay, could be worse. No one dies. Okay, so far so good. Could be worse. Okay, so I get out there, I get up the stairs, I get on stage, no problems. I get to the mic, I turn on the microphone, I do a sound check first just to make sure. Ah, that's going to be my check, my risk, my safety net. So I'm sound check. Okay, I hear the tap tap tap. I go, and then I do the announcement. I remember. Oh yeah. The name of the band. The worst thing I could happen at this point is I say the wrong name or the wrong introduction, and I really messed that up. And of course, they storm off because they're like, no way are we coming out to that. And they leave. Okay, the worst thing that could happen is I forget the name or I say the wrong name and the band don't come out. Okay, that's pretty bad. That would be really not just embarrassing. That would make me look really stupid. It would have a lot of people angry with me, including the manager of the band and probably most of the audience. Yeah, that's gonna be awkward. But no one died. Okay. Could be worse. So, name of the band, Gypsy Kings, Gypsy Kings, Gypsy Kings, Gypsy Kings. I said it 21 times because I know if I say anything 21 times, I'm very good chance I'll remember it at least 5 minutes later. So I'm like, okay. And how would I announce it if I was wanting, if I was a big, huge band name, how would I want to be introduced? And I know all that just in my head, I had all of a sudden, Mike Tyson and I'm watching these old boxing films with my dad, with Stallone, and he'd have these battles, and it was like, and it was always that announcer in the middle, and when they announced the boxers, ladies and gentlemen, boys, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a cool announcer. That's the style I want to be today. I want to be like that. You know what? I've got this. And then all I have to do really is, once I've done the announcement and got it that far, I'm kind of home free. I just got to get back across the stage, and I know my shoelaces are done and my fly is up. So that probably will be the same as it was when I came. And to get down the stairs, well, that would be the last hurdle. And take a deep breath before going down the stairs. You know how to go up and down a staircase, and you know your shoelaces are tied. So you're probably going to be all right for the home stretch. You just got to get past the name. Okay. There's a lot of things that could go wrong there. And only a few things I need to do right to make this succeed. You know what? And this all happened like 10, 15, 20 seconds in my brain. And I looked up at the manager and I smiled. I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty nervous about this, but if you're game, I'm game. Let's do this. I'm happy to. No one else is. And I'm going to enjoy it because you know what? If I fail, I'm going to learn something about this today, and I'm not going to do that again next time. And if I succeed, this will be an opportunity for me to really push myself outside my comfort zone, and we'll see what happens. Let's find out. And he handed me the mic. And that was it. My heart and my hands a little bit, it was out, dry them off, make sure that it didn't slip on the mic. All right. Yeah. Okay. We're good to go. All right, guys. Gypsy Kings, right? Love you guys. Yeah, my parents used to like play you guys all the time. Thanks, right? Yeah, okay, I got you. You better come out when I introduce you though, because that won't be on me. And they laughed, and that final smile, I turned around, gripping that mic tight, and I walked very carefully up the stairs, made it. Walked very carefully across the stage, made it, and turned on the mic, click, click, click. Oh, I could hear it in these giant speakers. And I just smiled, and I'm like, and at that point, I had 10,000 people kind of go silent, waiting for me to speak. At which point, I was like, you know what? Now or never. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know what you've all come here and what you've been waiting for. And guess what? They are right behind that screen, waiting to come and give you the best evening of your life. So put it together, get your hands clapping. Everyone on the three, I want you to stand up. One, two, three. And on the count of three, I had 10,000 people stand up. Until you've experienced what it's like to control with a command that many people, the energy. I can just feel it. My goosebumps on my arms, just remembering the experience. And I'm like, and now clap, and everyone, and it was just like a thunder is clapping. Gypsy Kings, and everyone just goes crazy and wild. And I'm just sitting there, and it's like, whoa, my hairs are all standing up. And I'm like, okay, home stretch time, quick, don't overdo it. You did well. Off I went. Managed to get across backstage, walk down the steps without falling, and the manager was there with a big old smile on his face, and he took the mic from me, he turned it off, click. He goes, Joe, that was one of the best introductions I've ever heard. You did it better than the guy we were paying, and you know what? There's a little bonus in for you at the end of the evening because that was awesome. We will hire you again anytime to do something like that. We know we can trust you to pull the rabbit out of the bag and make it happen when you have to. And we knew you weren't 100% confident about doing that, but you know what? None of us were even going to attempt it. So you really did save the evening tonight. I just felt that compliment just made me explode and happy. I just was a giggling mess the rest of that day. And you know what? I realized I not only had not failed like I thought I had was going to, like there was so many opportunities to fail and I didn't. Well, I succeeded. And from that moment on, for the rest of my life, I have been able to talk to tens, hundreds, or thousands of people with 100% confidence that I know what I have to say will be important to the people that want to listen and take it. And it won't be for everyone, and some people won't want to listen, and some people won't care, and it won't be everyone's perfect advice for what they need it now. But you understand, for the people that do want to listen, I know what I have to say is valuable for them. And that's all that matters. I'm not trying to beat anyone. I don't, it's not a competition. I there are hundreds of mentors, teachers, and so forth out there that do probably better than I do. But you know what? I'm not concerned about them. All I care about is me. And in fact, every day I ask myself very much this question, what am I doing to make a difference in the world? Why am I here? It's kind of like the bigger picture, you know? Leaders think about the bigger picture. I think about this all the time, this kind of vision of why am I here? And for me, it's about changing the world in some way, making a difference, leaving a legacy, doing something that one day you will find my name in a history book that said something positive. I'll be up there with the ones that were remembered for doing something to help. Not hinder, not hold back, not cause negativeness, but to be a name that my great great grandkids will be able to look up and with pride say that their family name was really, that pride had something to do with me. And that's what I want you guys. In fact, I'm wanting you to challenge yourself to every day ask yourself, today, how am I going to make the world a bit better? How am I going to use my skills? How am I going to find a challenge that will push me? But at the same time, by me pushing me and doing it will help someone else out, will help the world out, will help my group, my team, my country. Whatever that is, right? Ask yourself. It'll give you a why. Why am I here? It's one of the world's biggest, oldest, longest questions. A lot of people have a hard time answering. I had a really hard time answering for years. And one day my best friend turned around and goes, Joe, why? I'm like, I don't know. It's fun. I like doing crazy things. Why? You're nuts, man. And that sent me on this journey, self-awareness and exploration and a lot of these other things that at the end of the day come from wanting to be better. But it's interesting they call it self-confidence, isn't it? I mean, it's in the word, right? Self-confidence. And so self-confidence obviously kind of means it's in yourself that you're gonna find and do this confidence thing. And actually, in my opinion, self-confidence is not on the inside, it is not in yourself at all. In fact, it's the opposite. Confidence is all this stuff on the outside that you have to accept and challenge and go beyond. It's all the hard things around you, your world around outside to challenge you to build your confidence. Confidence doesn't come from your inner self. If it was, we'd all have that at birth. We don't. It's not on the inside. What's on the inside is your choice to become more confident by choosing to do the hard stuff, by taking a risk, a calculated risk that you have quantified, researched, developed, and understood before you made the jump, before you took the leap. Seriously, working in the circus world, it's a really good example of a professional aerialist or a trapeze artist doing their beautiful show. Now, do you think a professional and an amazing trapeze artist ever became professional or lived that long because they decided to do some crazy aerial routine without a safety net? At the beginning? No way. Every one of them would have never passed level one. They would have never got past the in novice or intermediate stages of learning that skill, because they're gonna fall at some point, and if there wasn't a safety net, they were gonna die. It's quite simply, it's flat. So they train, they have a safety net, they do it over and over and over and over and over again repetitively. And when they make a mistake, they go up and do it all over again. But once they get it right and they hit that level of mastery, they take that safety net away. And for them, it's easy. They don't have to worry about that anymore because they have gone through that experience. They've taken the risk years ago and they knocked it out of the ballpark. It's not a risk anymore. It's calculated. It's like crossing the road. And in fact, it's probably more dangerous crossing the road, because at least when our circus performers are doing stunts and extreme skills, we are in 100% control of everything. When you cross the road, you're only in control of the steps that you take. You are not in control of the driver behind that wheel or that biker that came around the corner and didn't see you. So really, it's safer to do some of these extreme sports that I do and things that I do, because I am 100% control of everything around me, my scuba equipment, my aerial equipment, my my harnesses, my ropes, my everything. And that gives me my confidence that I know I'm good enough to keep myself alive by doing those checks. I'm not just cavalier and bravo, let's do it. It's going to be crazy, man. No way. Yeah. But it goes to show my dad was the same, and my great great grandfather. He got a medal from the Queen's Cross, for flying soldiers out of war with his little private airplane that he used for, dusting tea. He had a tea plantation in India, and he'd fly with his little tea plant plane to do the crop dusting. And then war broke out in India at a certain time, and he flew all the British troops that were deserted and behind enemy lines. And yeah, he got a medal for that, and it's kind of in my family. It's kind of in my blood, but you know what? It wasn't taught as much as it was something that I learned from them. I saw them take risks, calculated risks. And you know what? It's a great saying my dad taught me when I was younger. He goes, Joe, don't worry about dying. Worry about living. So many people in the world never live. They live in their box. They do the same routine every day. They never change. They never grow. They never develop. They don't look for something else, and they wonder why they go crazy and die not as happy as they could have been. You only get that time for a certain amount of time. It's a gift, remember? It will run out. And at the end, when that time does run out, will you be able to honestly look yourself in the eye or close your eyes and think, hey, do I have the best memories I could have possibly have taken and got from the opportunities that were given to me? Or are you going to close your eyes one day and think, I wish I'd taken some more risk. I wish I'd done some more opportunities, because really I didn't achieve what I thought I could have. And that's my biggest fear as a leader. It's not achieving enough, not making it to the history books, not getting there. That's what scares me. Not jumping out of a plane or going deeper than a human should underwater, things like that. No, that's just an opportunity. That doesn't scare me so much. Interesting. So moving on, taking risks and, well, making eye contact when we talk to people. And this is another way of just really making sure that you get more confident, and is looking people in the eye when you talk. Some people will say that the eyes are the windows to your soul, if that makes sense. It truly is, in some way, shape, or form. It allows a person to know that you're 100% in their attention, that you're listening, that you're that and by making eye contact every few, you're not staring them down, but and you break eye contact every few seconds to avoid it becoming a bit weird or aggressive, instead of confident. But really, it's when you look away, you're not that really does mess with your confidence. So, try it. Now, This is a big one. I really need you to pay attention now. And in fact, if you're taking notes, can you start underlining things? Because this is a big one. It really annoys me that the world has conditioned all of us from birth that when you fail, you are a loser. You are second best. You're not good enough. You don't get chosen to be number one because you failed. And because of that, well, no one wants to fail. So what do? You don't try. You don't want to do it. Well, why should I do it? It'll make me look stupid if I fail. And if I fail, I don't want to be a loser and I don't want to look stupid. So, not my thing. Go on, off you go. That's too much for me, too crazy, too much risk, too much whatever. It's not me. I like safe. You know what? You never fail, you're never going to learn, you're never going to grow, you never develop, you'll never get better, you'll never go anywhere. You're certainly never going to lead anyone. The best and biggest business people in the world, the multi-billionaires, the Elon Musks, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts, all of that, they all failed tremendously in their days, losing millions of dollars on some projects and seriously ruining relationships and all sorts of other things in other areas. But you understand, by failing, they grew and developed and became the awesome people they are today. Because failures are a part of life. If you don't fail, you don't learn. And if you don't learn, you will not change. And remember, change is a good thing. People who are scared of change, well, they're not learning. They're coasting. And standing still, in my opinion, is just as bad as going back. It's a waste. For me, as a leader, the only option is forwards or learning. I'm either learning and licking my great wounds and then getting back up again. But that's not standing still. That's just repair. That's R&R. That's a little bit of, not standing still. Sometimes you have to repair yourself, and from a big fall off a tree, right? You knock the wind out of yourself. You've got to stand there and catch your breath a second, but you're gonna learn from it while you're there. It's those of you that don't get back up, you don't climb that tree again. You decide that actually that pain, that air that you knocked out was a lesson you never want to learn again, and you'll never experience again, and you won't push yourself to do again, and you won't like to go anything up high anymore. And from that point on, you'll miss out on the best views on the mount on the top of Mount Everest. You'll never see the most romantic views of Paris on the top of the Eiffel Tower. You'll never enjoy looking out on the Empire State Building around the most beautiful city in New York. You'll miss all these things. And know that when you fail, it's not just okay, it's a really good thing. And I mean, failure is a good thing. I want you to see it as an opportunity to either grow or learn or improve your confidence. But if you understand, we live in a failure equals loser culture, and everyone else is scared of this. And where people are most likely just going to talk about how good they are and what they're accomplished, they don't talk about their failures. They rarely do because it obviously makes them feel weaker than the people around them. But real entrepreneurs are happy to talk about their failures quite openly. They're quite proud of some of them, in fact. I'm quite proud of some of mine. They made me who I am today. I don't see them as a negative thing. And by understanding that failure happens inevitably, it's a part of the process of living that will help you live a fuller, better, more awesome life, right? So don't worry about making mistakes. Don't worry about failing. Take a small risk. Take a bigger risk. Once you get past that, go to something even bigger. Calculated risks grow one step up at a time up the Everest. But you can't climb Everest in a day. You die. You have to do the base camps. You have to do the steps, or else you die. You can't just go for it. You got to do little bits. And that's how the most confident people in the world became the most confident people. Lots and lots and lots of little steps, lots and lots of growth, lots and lots of challenges, lots of problems to face, and lots of opportunities to overcome. But at the end of the day, if you don't try doing something, well, You'll never see what happens. The odds are good that the world won't end if you're not perfect. You know that, right? Everyone's human being. We're not perfect. So if you understand we're all equally imperfect and we all have problems, then don't worry about it. What do you got to lose? No one's died yet. That's when things are bad. That's when things are really permanent. You can't fix. And that's why I kind of use that analogy. And someone I really respect told me that once as a saying, and she used to say it quite a lot, and it made me giggle. But the older I get, the more I realize the value of that saying. Hey, don't worry, no one died. And it's kind of funny, but actually, you think about it, you know, really, that's as bad as it's gonna get. Everything else above that isn't that bad, right? But we make it in our heads way bigger and worse than it is. So, well, worry about being perfect will definitely make you be less confident. So, don't aim for perfection. Don't try to be better than someone you're comparing yourself to. Don't compare yourself. Be the best you can be. And the only way you're going to do that is by growing. The only way to grow is by learning. The only way to learn is by doing new and difficult things, which will then give you more confidence, right? So, don't forget, failures are a part of life. If you don't fail, you don't learn. If you don't learn, you'll never change. It's a good one to remember. It's okay to fail, huh? But it's not okay to quit. Because when you quit, you did fail. You were, that's to me the negative version of failure is when you quit. Quit is that's giving up. That's not even in my mentality. I don't even like saying it. It makes me feel queasy because I'm not a quitter. And really, some things I have to really work hard to learn. You know, languages are really hard for me, but I keep going back. I have tutors. I keep listening. I keep trying. I keep going. You know what? It's not going to ever be my thing. I'm not going to be ever a natural translator for anyone, but you understand it's a personal mission for me. My daughter can speak in a second language. My friends all around me speak second, third, fourth, some of them six or seven languages. And I feel stupid when I'm around them. It makes me feel less confident. But you know what? I push that. Hey, can you help me with the language thing today? I know I'm doing terrible. I know I'm 5 years now and I'm still talking like a 1-year-old. Come on. I know. But bear with me, I'm not going to quit. It'll be fun. Deep breath and off we go again. But that's okay. I won't quit. So as a leader, you obviously you want your team to succeed, right? And however, it's important that you teach your team that failure happens to the best of us. Show your team that failure can be an excellent learning tool and for figuring out how to do something right so that next time you can make yourself open and vulnerable. And with your team, they understand that you're human too. That when the leader makes a mistake, you deal with it. You know, you don't blame it on everyone else. You don't blame it on anything else. You take responsibility and you fix and you apologize, you repair, you learn, and you teach your team what to do by taking a risk and how to deal with it when you fail and how to deal with it when you succeed. And you celebrate with them when you succeed too, right? But they understand that at that point you're human. They're not expecting you to be perfect. Failure is an unavoidable part of life. Don't forget that. No one can succeed every time, all the time. It's not possible. That's okay. Lessons are learned from your own difficulties. This is positive. It's okay to have difficulties as long as you get something positive out of it, as long as you can see. No matter how bad that was, actually something good had to have come out of it, or what was the point? Don't let these opportunities ruin you when actually they could be making you grow and develop and be better. It's all about how you see it. And by learning from failure, you're not actually failing at all. Remember this. That's the mentality of society telling you that failure is bad, you're not good enough. No. You are growing, you're becoming better, you're stronger, you're smarter, you're going to be an awesome leader. You're going to be better than anyone else that didn't try. Be proud of that. Own that. That's a good thing. I am. Okay, so let's see. Tips for thinking positively and building self-confidence. Well, look at what can be controlled. At the end of the day, you can only control yourself, right? No, other things. So remember what was done well and how to improve it when things go wrong. So when things go wrong, remember, not everything will always go wrong, right? It's opportunity, odds are that at some point you're going to get it right. If you do enough wrong things, you'll run out of wrong things to do, as long as you're learning from them. And eventually you'll figure out the one thing. And this is a problem-solving way of thinking. This is often leaders, we call them, call ourselves problem solvers, because there is no problem in the world, no challenge that doesn't have a solution. We know there is not just one. There are multiple, many solutions to many problems, or one problem, many solutions to that one problem. You just have to find it. The only thing is you haven't found it yet. So who doesn't like a game of hide and seek or treasure hunt, right? I'm a treasure hunter. I'm a hide and seeker. I'm a go-getter. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna fix it. And if there isn't a solution that everyone else hasn't found yet, that makes me feel even better when I do find it, because I know I had to go much further than everyone else to get there. That's what it is to be a leader, to lead. But things won't always go wrong in the future. And just remember that, you can have a run of bad luck too. Every leader does, every person does. And you either get back up and try again, or you fail. And that's when you fail, is when you quit. But just remember, when things go well, well, most things can go well. Don't think you're like the best. It's don't get overconfident, because that can be not so great as well. But you understand, just be proud. Hey, it did go well. Most things go well if I put my mind to it, so that's good. And keep going on that same vein. It's a positive thing, and things will usually go well in the future if I keep doing what I'm doing. So yeah, cool. Nice one. I didn't have to learn a hard lesson. I just got to remember to keep doing the good stuff, right? So that's a positive way of helping you build that confidence and more. But this positive thinking mentality, it really is it's a way of life for me. Everything about my life, no matter good, bad, or otherwise, I'm always looking for a positive outcome, and it literally draws more positive in. It's like, I like this, I've mentioned before, a magnet. So when things go wrong, remember, it's not always going to go wrong for me every time. It's, in the future, it's gotta go right at some point. And when things go right, hey, things are going right. But accept that things can go wrong. Remember that things will go well as well, and replace those negative thoughts with positive explanations or positive outcomes. When something bad happens, close your eyes and think, how do I want this to be as a success? Change the story in your head. Visualize it as it winning, as you succeeding, whatever the problem is. You need to pass a test. Well, visualize yourself studying this week, using your time management skills, going through, the steps of revision, that you're going to walk into the classroom, you're going to sit down with your water, you're going to go through the process, and you're going to do it, and you're going to pass with the A plus. You're going to get the extra credit points too, because you're going to work extra hard to do the other stuff that no one else wants to do. That's why you're going to get a grade A this time. And go with it. There's your plan. There's your blueprint. There's your way. There's your risk. There's your reward. Who knows? You might fail, probably, but you know what? What's the worst that could happen? You get an F. No one died. Did you try? Yes. Okay, then. Did you learn? Yes. Then okay, then you won. But if you don't bother taking the test, or you don't bother studying, well, that's quitting. That's not good enough. That's not a leader, right? And well, when you use these tips and these tricks, you think, I can make this go well because of whatever reason, or by doing this risk and challenging myself and learning and doing the hard stuff, I'm actually going to make the world a bit better here or here or here. I'm going to do something that means something to some other people as well. The bigger picture. Why am I here? Why am I trying so hard? Why am I beating myself over and over and over again to fix something and be better for the world? Not just for me, not just for my friends, my family, my colleagues, my my peers, my future, right? And remember, always be honest and take responsibility for your actions, because at the end of the day, before confidence, number two on my list, don't forget number one, your integrity, your honesty, your responsibility to hold the morale and morals of your team, and even more so yourself, because that's where it all begins. Without that, none of the other stuff will happen. Trust me. So remember, one of two things will happen. You'll either fail, you'll learn, you'll get smarter, you become stronger and better, and for next time, so you win. All because you tried. Or second, or number two, you succeed in something that was scary that you thought was probably going to fail, and now you've got the confidence to go again without the worry. You win again. So you can't lose. Remember, if you try new things, you take that calculated risk, you cannot lose. You only lose when you quit or you don't try. You stand still and you wait for everyone else to have a go first. So it seems like a no-brainer to me. But then that's because I live it every day of my life. It's a mindset of I wake up, I'm looking for things to scare me, I'm looking for things to challenge me, and I attack them and I accept them as an awesome, positive thing. I'm excited and happy about it. Most people would be like, ah, come home from work. You know what? I come home from work. My biggest problem every day is I smile so much my face hurts. It's a good problem to have. How many people do you know have that problem? Most people I know come home from work like, oh, I need half an hour to have a break, cup of tea. I just need to let go of the day a little bit. It was stressful today. I had to deal with some employees and all, whatever. Sure, I have problems. Sure, I have bad days, but my bad days are better than most people's good days because of my mindset, because of the way I see problems and solutions and challenges and risk. You understand? It's a whole different way of thinking. Failure is a good thing. Just get your head around that and you'll be halfway there. And remember, you can only control you. You can only focus on what you control. We need to forget everything else. If you can't control it, don't worry about it. If you can change it, fix it. Right? You can't stop a tornado. You can't stop a hurricane. You can't stop COVID from. You understand, world disasters will happen. There's nothing you can do. But could you focus on what your preparations were, your training, your education, your learning, your ability to be prepared? That you can control. You control your thoughts, you control your words, you control your choices, you control your actions, you control your reactions, and very much you control your future by controlling all of these things. And by choosing to do something, you are controlling that situation. Be it wrong or right, doesn't matter. You chose, you controlled it. By not choosing, you are not in control. By forgetting about it, you are not in control. By letting the world take over and just hoping for the best, you're not in control. And being not in control is scary. It's like throwing yourself out of an airplane without a parachute. Trust me, it's not a good thing. It never ends well. You're not in control. Every bad thing will come and hit you along the way. But when you control that, that becomes a whole different ball game. People will respect you and admire you for that too, because it shows determination, the will to be better, the self-awareness to control and not be a control freak, but being able to understand when to let go, when to make and choose the correct choice. It's about reacting correctly, right? Once you believe in yourself, the others will follow. If you don't believe in yourself, no one's going anywhere. You're all standing still. So it really does help to be around like-minded people, being around the right group. If you're around positive people who want to do positive things, you will all become unified. You'll all grow towards the common goal, the mindset will all be the same, but as a group, you'll invent international space stations and you'll travel the universe together. That is the power of a team. Change the world in huge ways. But it can also be, with a negative group of people, your negative People around you, it will drag you down, it will tear you up, it will destroy you as equally as powerfully as being with a good team. So be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who your team is. Choose your teams wisely. Interact with people that you have the same morals with, that have the same hobbies, that will build your confidence together and grow together. You don't want to be around a bunch of people that are doing negative things or doing negative thoughts, because that will just, they'll take you down with them. Trust me, it's never going to end well there either. So good people, your good friends, good friendships, good colleagues, good, all of these things are going to make a huge difference, right? And at the end of the day, get rid of the people who are negative. They're going to be like a disease. They will infect everything around you and around, everything you do. And all of a sudden, problems will keep coming, and you're wondering why. Negative attracts negative, like positive attracts positive. It's a magnet thing, right? But once you figure that out, it'll really help you. Well, it'll help you. This group that will help you very much offer you assistance. It gives you advice. It gives you guidance. This positive group will support you unconditionally, because they have the same drive and goal. They understand what you're going through. They understand the problems you've had to learn from. They'll be a lot more forgiving. They hold us accountable. They make you step up and get on, because they know what it takes. They'll speak to you in a common language. They'll talk to you at your level, in a level that's common with your interests and your thoughts, because you have that together. And they cheer you on. They are there when you succeed to help you celebrate, and they're also there to help you pick you up when you fall and fail and need to try again. That's what a good friend is for, and a good group of people will do. And be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your team is, your tribe. They call it, your tribe is so important. Pick the wrong tribe and you go to war. Pick the right tribe, you go to space, right? It's a big thing. So on the last few bits here, and this is a kind of a modern day problem that is kind of become a bit of an issue, but I'm a computer scientist. I love tech. I really do. More than most people, I am a huge tech nerd. I love the latest gadgets, the latest thing, right? But at the end of the day, when I go scuba diving, I do not have a phone on me. When I go skydiving, I do not have a laptop and an internet connection. When I go to the top of a mountain on a hike with my best friend for a week, camping under the stars, I eat food I find and gather. I'm drinking water from a river and boiling. I sleep under the open stars and listen to crickets, and I love being disconnected just for a few weeks, as long as possible every year. And while I'm disconnected, I'm with people I love, my best friends, my family, my peers, and we go out and we just, no text, no, there's no point. There's no power, there's no charges, there's no internet services. I mean, the very most we might have is a satellite phone for an emergency for our extremely risky adventures. But you understand, that's a sensible thing, not because we want to be talking on the phone. That would be ridiculous. But they've even proven this. On a 2018 study that was published in the European Journal of Psychology, they found that people with that who have a lower self-esteem tend to gravitate towards building a false self on social media, which can lead to an inaccurate sense of yourself, your self-worth. So, when you play these video games, you build these characters up in Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox. You build these avatars. You give them the best clothes and the best add-ons and the best skins and whatever, right? They're important to you because that's your digital self, your digital version. But really, is that you? Is it real? Did you know 78% of the internet people lie? As I teach internet safety, this is a common thing. That means, like, literally out of four people, three of them are lying. When we're talking about, oh, is that your picture, or is that your real, description of yourself, or is that your real age, or is that your real? There's going to be a lie in there somewhere, because the internet is the ability to be anyone or anything. You're an avatar. You're a digital imaginary self of you. You can be anything you want on the internet, but in the real world, who are you really? And it can be tough. You come back to the real world and you're not getting lots of likes on Facebook in real life every minute, are you? You're not getting compliments on all your, posts and, messages all the time, every second in real life, are you? Because that's not how it works. You've got to work hard for them. In real life, you've got to work hard for your rewards. On the internet, you post something, a meme, say something silly, and hey, everyone likes it and thumbs up and has a funny comment, right? Really? Has it changed the world at all? Has it made the world a better place? Has it left your mark that you want to be known for? I don't know. So it's funny, I really do recommend at least every month or so having a few days where you're like, no tech this, no internet. Or, if it's something you need for work or school, then sure, but you understand, really get rid of it. Unplug. And by taking a break from social media, it allows you to reconnect with yourself as a person. It allows you to reconnect with the world, nature, get your feet dirty and go fishing, go camping, go look at the stars, go listen to the birds, go whatever it is that you love to do. Some of my stuff's more high octane and adrenaline, like using gravity and other, water and things like that. But at the end of the day, none of my stuff involves a mobile phone or an internet connection or a laptop. None of it. None of it. The best things I do in my life, none of it involves tech. All the tech I use is for the things I love to do for my career and for the rest of the world to help spread messages and to connect and network. But it has nothing to do with me as an individual to be better. It does not help me. It helps the world around me when I'm needing it, but it does not help me. So stop trying to impress everyone else. Worry about you. And remember to take that detox from time to time. And that goes for you gamers too. I teach video game addiction. I understand all about the secret tricks that programmers that we're taught at university to put into video games to sell, well, $200 billion worth of video games a year to 300, no, so two, so 3 billion gamers in the world today, which are spending $200 billion a year on the gaming industry. That making you feel more confident in your social skills, playing with your friends online, four of which are probably lying, four of which might not even be real, or my 65-year-old people playing as 12-year-old teenagers. I know all sorts of weird stuff, but you understand there's a lot of deceit there. Are those the friends you want? Are they helping you? Are they going to be there when you succeed and want to celebrate? Are they going to be there when you fail and you need picking up? Ask yourself that. If they're not, then they're probably wasting your time, the most valuable thing you own. Stop it. Don't let them. That's ridiculous. Would you let someone rob your bank? No. You protect it. That's why it's in the bank with a safe and security. Don't let people rob you from the most valuable thing, your time. Only give it to those that deserve it. And those that deserve it are the ones that will help you and you can help. That's what a friendship or a relationship is about, but that comes down to trust. Number one on my list. And to have trust, you're going to need a bit of courage. Yeah, it's hard to trust someone the first time. You've got to take a risk. Weird how that all loops back, right? But it does. It's a big old circle of awesomeness, but you've got to be on that train and you just fall down the mountain. So the bottom line on confidence, well, most of us are born with a healthy level. We're all born with the same, and life throws us challenges that derail a lot of us and our confidence. It happens to even the best of us. Happens to me. However, reclaiming that confidence and getting it back and making yourself stronger is only possible and worth every effort by doing more and fulfilling your life. That's what it's about. And don't forget, this is a skill that's not just going to be used a couple of times. This will benefit every aspect of your life forever till the most valuable thing you own runs out. It'll affect everything. This ability to be confident and to always search for that. So, what are you going to do today? You're going to get some practice. How are you going to get more confident? What's your plan? I'd love to know. But that's going to bring us to the end of today's class, and I'm going to leave you with a little bit of homework. I want you to explain to me now what confidence means to you in your own words. I'd like to know three things that you would like to be more confident with. What are three things that you feel like you could really use that confidence for? And how could you get more confidence in doing those three things? What are three plans? What are three solutions to getting more confident in those three things you mentioned in number two? And explain to me, number four, why is confidence so necessary to be a leader? Why is it number two on my list in your own words? And number five, what other qualities of a good leader can you think of? Because in the next lesson, we're going to cover a few more. And I want to see if you have on your list any of the ones I have on mine. We'll probably cover about 10 or so more. And I'm only going to cover the really important ones. Remember, there are hundreds of qualities, so I hope you can find a few. Yeah, give me five, see if you can get 10, but I'll be happy with five. And just remember, at the end of the day, you are the master of you. You're going to choose if it's not going to happen. You're going to choose if you get worried. You're going to choose if you're not sure and you just stand still and you waste your time, and or you're going to go, you know what, this is probably okay. In fact, better yet, I'm going to be confident and happy. I'm going to give it a go. You choose. Where do you stand? Your choice. No one's going to tell you otherwise.